Candice Rondeau is a senior analyst based in Kabul for the International Crisis Group. She says the killing of Bahruddin Rabbani may widen the ethnic divide in Afghanistan.
Certainly, ethnicity has emerged in the last 10 years as the primary fault line, in large part because the Taliban, which resides primarily in the south and the east, where there are lots of Pashtun tribes, see themselves as the dominant power in Afghanistan. And there's always been this linguistic divide between Pashtuns who speak Pashto and non-Pashtuns who generally speak Persian. And that consists of several other ethnic groups, including the Tajiks, of which Mr. Rabbani was one. In fact, he was probably one of the most well-known, most powerful Tajik figures to enter into this reconciliation process. And that is why his death is so significant in many ways, because it really implies that the divide between Pashtuns and non-Pashtuns is getting much bigger. And I think that this really points toward a greater possibility of a move towards civil war upon the withdrawal of foreign troops. Essentially, what it comes down to is a sort of a divide between several different ethnic groups that seems to be growing by the day.
It's growing by the day, but what's at the core of this particular divide that you're worried about?
Well, at the core of it is that the Taliban, for the last 10 years and more, has been pushing for an Islamic emirate, an essentially closed state in which a small group of religious figures, much like an Iranian state, controlled by the clergy, dictate the cultural norms, the legal norms, and impose Sharia as a means of political structure. What the non-Pashtuns, who I guess in this scenario sort of count as liberals, if you will, fear is that everything that has been built out of the Islamic Republic will be lost. So the right to vote, the right to send girls to school, the right to conduct business as you see fit, without having to rely on religious figures as the final authority.
Candice, you have written for the Crisis Group that you say it's very clear that even if the Taliban were not directly responsible for this assassination, though it seems that they are, there are some members who do not want this peace process to go forward, who are not interested in cutting deals, meaning with the Taliban, who are in fact frightened by the idea of a brokered peace deal taking place in Afghanistan. What frightens them?
Well, I think for members of the inner circle of the Taliban, particularly for very hardcore sections of the Taliban, the fear is that they will lose their strategic advantage by cutting a deal with a government that is very weak. I mean, I think we can all agree that the government of President Karzai has never been weaker, and there is no guarantee that if the Taliban were to enter into a deal, that they would receive the kind of security guarantees that he has been promising.
We also see that those who are advocating peace and working toward peace, even those people who are extremely divisive, like Mr. Rabbani himself, have lived such a fragile existence. What's the upshot of this on the people of Afghanistan who do support some kind of peace process? Where does this leave kind of the psyche of the Afghan people you speak with?
Well, the Afghan people are incredibly resilient. After 30 years of war, this country has really come through a lot and has, you know, slowly but surely tried to remake itself into something new. I also think that the Afghan people are under no illusions that what was taking place under the administration of Mr. Karzai and Mr. Rabbani was actually a peace process. I think there was general agreement, even within the High Peace Council itself, that, in fact, this is not a reconciliation process. This is about deal-making. This is about money passing hands. This is about powerful men making decisions about marginalized people's lives. And that, unfortunately, is why we are where we are today. I really do think that most Afghans recognize that to make peace happen here, what it needs, of course, is real institutions and real genuine backing from a broad-based public. But right now, the Karzai administration really doesn't seem to understand that, and nor do his backers in the United States, who I think have really failed in the architecture of this process.
All right. Thank you, Candice Rondeau, senior analyst in Afghanistan for the International Crisis Group. Thank you.
Thank you.